Good afternoon. You are listening to
Recovery Radio.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Recovery Radio.
I always like to pipe that one in.
Yeah. Jeez, crazy. What's wrong with me? Recovery Radio. I'm Johnny,
I'm Denise, clueless.
And this is Denise over here. And our guest in the studio today is Nobody. And so we're just going to be talking recovery. And I've got a big list of events coming up for both AA, NA, and I found some stuff, Denise, on the Alternative to Violence of the Palouse website.
That's
pretty cool. And maybe I'll just kick into that right now. It turns out that there are a couple of summer camp things going on for them. This is for Pullman area. It's called Camp POW, and it's July 23rd through 27th. It's Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and it's put on by Pullman Parks and Recreation, and instructors are ATVP, which is the acronym for Alternative to Violence on the Palouse, Anti-Violence Education Team. The price is free, and it's for ages 8 to 11, and discover your inner superhero at this week-long camp. Justice will be upheld. All participants will join forces to be the guardians of our community. We will post daily vlogs and create memes and GIFs to share on social media. We will watch and discuss movies, music videos, and YouTubers. Field trips will include off-site lunches and downtown excursions as we perfect our superpowers. Camp POW needs you. Due to generous grant support, lunches and snacks, and the cost of the camp is provided to you free. All genders welcome. And you can register for this class through Pullman Parks and Rec. You can register through their website, or you can call them at, and I hope you have your pencils ready. You always should have your pencils
always,
for Recovery Radio. Call them at 509-338-3227. That's 509-338-3227. And, parents, schedule and curricula available here. Email Amy at dvscoordinator@atv. Well, anyway, you can go on their website and it has that information.
Sounds great.
Yeah, and I don't know why.
That's for a Pullman residence, correct?
That's for Pullman residence. Well, okay. It doesn't exactly say, but I'm guessing. There's also another one, it looks like, that runs the same time span called Camp Ship. And Hello Sailor, learn how to build, board, and navigate healthy relationships at this week-long camp. On and on and on. And then there's also a TECO summer camp.
So that last one, was that for adults or children?
This one, this one is for ages 12 to 14.
Good. I like
that. So the first one was for 8 to 11-year-olds, mm-hmm. and this one is for 12 to 14s. And, I'll go ahead and read it. Mm-hmm. Hello, Sailor. Learn how to build, board, and navigate a healthy relationship at this week-long camp. A ship can be any sort of relationship or friendship. At this week-long camp, discover what makes for a great ship. Self-esteem, confidence, communications, and resilience. Help us to build great ships in our community, too, through bystander intervention, conflict resolution, and peace-building strategies. Engage in an artistic campaign of public art displays, create vlogs, GIFs, and memes to reach an even greater audience. Field trips will include off-site lunches and downtown trips to interview the public about relevant topics and to display our art. Due to generous grant support, lunches and snacks, and the cost of this camp is provided to you for free. All genders welcome. Please register for this class, same thing, Parks and Rec. call them at 509-338-3227. And then the last summer camp is TECO, and it's another camp ship. This one runs July 9th through 11th. It's a 3-day, Monday through Wednesday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. We're at TECO High School, and the same group, ATVP's Anti-Violence Education Team. Price is free, ages 9 through 14. And basically, it's the same format as the Pullman ship camp.
So that our children can learn how to identify healthy relationships, how to be in healthy relationships, whether they're friends or family or just people in the community, is what it sounds like. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. And, you know, it, summer camp and just making necklaces or wristbands and that sort of thing, this sounds like kids will get a really nice education out of it. So,
yeah, I mean, we need to pull together in our community for our kids so that they are learning many different things from many different people. Because sometimes, even though we really, you know, try very hard to, you know, talk to our kids about all sorts of different things, sometimes just hearing it from someone else or being in a group like that with other kids really makes an impression.
Yes, so. And you're the expert on on talking to children. I
got 30 years.
I have no children, but I do. I know you're right, because I'm looking at it from the other side. When I talk to my friends' kids, they, you know, I've had friends call me up and say, "What did you say to my kid? He made his bed this morning." And I'm like,
right?
I don't know. I was teaching them how to smoke cigars and play poker, and you know, should I make my bed came up. I said, sure, I'll raise you.
Oh my goodness. That was a great story.
Well,
but it's true. I've noticed that over the last three decades, I've noticed, because I'll be like in this awe of amazement when, you know, someone else says something to my kids and they just automatically, or another kid even says something, you know, or share something. So I think it's a combination of things. It's like your parents, your community, who your kids are around. It all really makes a difference. And I'm really glad to see that they have those classes, especially with those subjects.
Oh, yeah.
And that they tie it in as just being, you know, this healthy time where kids are coming together to kind of learn about life and you know,
well, exactly,
about themselves and all that too.
And you know, these age groups, you know, 5 to 12, really impressionable and actually pretty easy to teach at that age.
Yeah.
You know, when you get into the teenage years in this, you know, the ship can be any sort of relationship or friendship.
Yeah.
You know, self-esteem, confidence, communications, resilience. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one thing to be bullied, but it's another thing to, you know, be able to come back from that or resist the temptation to succumb to it and, you know, start believing the lies that somebody's saying about you on social media or whatever. So, you know, that's awesome, because, you know, back when I was a kid, you know, if you got bullied, your dad took you out in the backyard and gave you some boxing lessons, so you had a way to deal with it.
Yeah, and my son got jiu-jitsu classes.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. And, you know, to a certain extent, that worked. But, you know, in my particular case, I always, you know, seemed to be able to, you know, handle it with humor or just being smarter than the bully. In high school, I was bullied by this one fellow on the football team. And that went on for, I don't know, 6-8 months until I wound up in a class, an advanced electronics class, with the captain of the football team, who had a real tough time with, math, advanced math. And so I helped him in this class, and I just kind of tutored him informally. And when the bully came at me and went to stuff me in the garbage can for the God knows how many thousandth time, he just grabbed him by the shoulder and said, you know, hey, leave him alone. Mm-hmm. And that was the end of, you know, my being bullied. But, you know, I got lucky.
Wow.
A lot of kids don't get lucky like that.
See, when my son had that problem a long, long time ago, because he's an adult now, I remember talking with him. I mean, of course, I was super frustrated as a parent, and I had to cool down a little bit. But You know, I mean, we talked to him and helped him identify that there was some things that were really difficult going on in that young man's life. And, you know, those frustrations can be taken out towards other people. And I think that he also started to identify that, too. We had some good conversations about that. And it's just kind of like, you know, kids usually, you know, their behaviors and acting out and things like that are for a reason, you know. And so I could have some compassion for that. My son could have some compassion for that. And he got to benefit from a handful of years of jiu-jitsu classes where, you know, just something positive, two things positive came out of it at least. You know, he got to learn that, you know, how to defend himself mm-hmm. cautiously. And I remember always telling him, if you're in school, you know, you can't hit somebody. If you're on the street, you know, then go for it. You know, like a stranger comes up to you. I'm like, but if you're at school, you're going to need to deflect. And like, you know, we need to be smart about it and go by the school rules and everything like that. But then I think that, you know, with the jiu-jitsu stuff, you learn how to not get hit, actually.
Right.
You know what I mean? You learn how to get away. So it just seemed like a really safe kind of thing for him to get into. And I really enjoy being able to take those, what seemed like a really negative thing, I guess it falls under the resilience,
right,
and turn it around and make a lot of good out of it, you know?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. I took classes in martial arts mm-hmm. 1,000 years ago in my misspent youth. And I developed a lot of confidence.
Right.
Confidence in not only my physical abilities, but in my mind. The fact mm-hmm. that, yeah, I could, if my back was against the wall,
right,
I could absolutely, you know, take care of things.
Sure.
I could, you know, withstand getting hit pretty hard mm-hmm. and still keep my wits about me. And you know, if it came to a violent confrontation, because, you know, back in the bad old days, I was not an angel. I put myself in a lot of, you know, put myself in the position of, you know, being in violent engagements and, mm-hmm. you know, thanks to my addictions and,
sure.
You know, my poor thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it was a good thing, because I had the confidence to know, okay, I can face this situation. Like our martial arts instructor taught us early on, he says, you know, if you get in a tight spot, use your legs for what God gave them to you for and run.
Exactly. That's kind of how I feel about it. I'm 5 foot tall. I weigh a little over 100 pounds.
Soaking
I'm not
wet,
really going to yeah. do what?
Soaking wet 100
yeah,
pounds.
I am. I'm not going to do a whole lot of good probably to defend myself, but I can definitely run.
Yeah.
That actually reminds me. So my granddaughter is 8 and she's had a rough time. She lost her father last year. And
sorry to hear that.
Yeah. And so, you know, she's in cheerleading with my little girls, and it was rough. She was really struggling. So my daughter took her out of that for a little while, put her in martial arts, and I've heard more recently that like that has really made just this huge change for her. She really likes it. I think also it's the same thing. You know, I've always heard that it builds confidence and things like that, and just that one thing is making a huge impact on her life and her heart. I mean, she's healing. That's a pretty big thing to, you know, to try to be healing from. It's going to, you know, it's not like it's curing the problem or anything like that, but it's a positive thing that she's now involved in that, you know, it's helping change her attitude because she's really struggling, you know.
That's right. And when it comes to, you know, dealing with things, you know, our attitude towards it is really so important. You know, losing a loved one, It never totally goes away, but you learn to deal with it differently. My mom passed away in 1989, and then my father passed away in 1994, not too long after her. My mother from cancer and my father from cirrhosis of the liver. So there's a genetic component in me. Yeah. Both my parents were alcoholics. Mm-hmm. My mother was recovered for 10 years before she passed, but my father was stark raving sober for many years, but you know, the years of abuse and heavy drinking finally caught up to him in the end. And although, you know, initially there was, you know, some pretty heavy grieving going on, and I was still, it's probably when I was in the deepest depths of my addiction. And, you know, after I got sober, I, you know, got some counseling. I learned to deal with it a little better. But the fact that I was thinking about their birthdays were May 5th and 6th. Mm-hmm. And this year, my father would have, I found myself thinking about mm-hmm. it, and my father would have been 100 years old.
Oh, wow. Right. Yeah. On. Yeah. This
year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it never goes away. It's always going to be in the back of my mind, but how I'm able to deal with it and, you know, think about it and think about them kindly mm-hmm. Now rather than, you know, being, oh, why'd they have to die? Oh, why'd you drink? Sure. Blah, blah, blah. All that kind of madness that goes on. And, you know, with a young person, you know, it's funny. It's, if I fall down and break my hip, you know, I'm probably going to be in a rest home till they throw dirt on me. But a young person falls down and break their hip, you know, in 3 months they're up and running again. And yeah. I really think that children heal because they heal faster physically. Mm-hmm. I really believe they heal faster mentally too.
Yeah. Yeah, especially when the adults come around and start helping, you know, make some good decisions for what needs to be in their life or talking to them and stuff. I agree.
Right.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. And, yeah, and I mean, I don't know. I guess with our age, hopefully we've learned enough to know how to take care of ourselves and be our own best mommies and daddies to ourselves. You know what I mean?
Well, occasionally.
Kind of like what you were saying, you know, I mean.
But, yeah. You know, and there's always, you know, I have a neighbor, we'll call him Clarence. And he's a great guy. He's in his 80s. He was a professor at U of I, long retired. But he's a real mechanical guy. He's a real do-it-yourselfer. And, you know, sometimes we sit and talk. We'll go out to, they have a farm out by Deary, he and his wife. And we'll go out there and, you know, I'll help him with some project, or we'll just mm-hmm. go snowshoeing and then sit in the little house out there and by the wood stove and drink coffee and just talk. And, you know, he's got 22, 23 years on me. Mm-hmm. And, but I still, you know, it's, you know, talking to a mature adult, mm-hmm. And, you know, just learning things and, you know, talking, you know, I feel comfortable talking to him about things that, you know, I might feel uncomfortable talking to my wife about, or, sure. or a casual friend mm-hmm. about, or even a peer, because probably haven't been through the same things that, this guy has. And I just have an admiration for him mm-hmm. and respect. Mm-hmm. A lot of respect.
That's
so.
Kind of the thing. There's just like, there's so many different people that we know, and they, you know, one person's not our everything. I've definitely learned that your spouse, you can't rely on them for everything. That's really unfair. It doesn't work out well, or vice versa. and so, you know, we come across these different kinds of friendships and stuff like that where, and especially the more the other person opens up and shares like their stuff and their vulnerability and their story and things like that. And that's true though, especially the ones that have been through whatever, maybe longer ago than, you know, than we
right,
have and
right.
things like that. That's always really cool. It's, I feel like there's definitely ladies in my life that, you know, they really do get some things that, and they're not necessarily, you know, in recovery from addiction or something, but other
right.
things, you know,
right. Exactly.
But they've just been a healthier place for longer, you mm-hmm. know? And so, and it's also interesting because I remember thinking, I think I was in recovery in my drug court program for like maybe just a couple of months, and there was this gal that I met at NA, and she was also a drug court graduate, and she was about 4 years when I met her. Uh-huh. And it's kind of ironic because like right now I'm about 4.5 years, and I can see some similarities in where she was then and where I am now. Like, it's kind of cool,
right?
You know, like there's just, I mean, nobody's the same, but there's some similarities to kind of things as you go along, you know.
Right,
and
right.
to have those people that are a little bit ahead of you, or you know, not as long and things like that, and you can say encouraging things to them because you've been there, you know.
Right.
That kind of simple stuff is cool.
Well, exactly, and that's, you know, one of the things about, you know, the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous that, you know, I've met young people and I've met older people older than myself, although I'm pretty old.
He's really not that old.
Well, when it comes to the rooms, I'm pretty old, which is a good thing because, you know, it just means that some young people have been spared, you know, a 10 or 20 years of misery that I needed to go through to get there. But I learned things from the guy who's got 3 days sober and he's, you know, shaking like a dog pooping peach pits. Mm-hmm. I can learn something from that person, you know, and that fellowship. I mean, it really makes it work, you know, not only for the newcomer who doesn't really have a clue, but, you know, for somebody who's been around a while because, you know, their experience, my experience and their experience we're going to share some experiences,
yeah, absolutely,
some very similar things, if not to the letter, at least in the same neighborhood. And, you know, I'll learn how to deal with something that, maybe hasn't presented itself yet, mm-hmm, but will in time.
I remember when I first started in NA, there was a couple, and the husband used to say, that the newcomer helps remind him of what it was like.
Right.
Why he doesn't want to go back out there.
Amen.
Know?
Yeah.
Right. And so, like, you know, he's like, it's basically, he's like, the stories are basically, you know, the same, and it reminds me of why I don't want to go that direction. And I think that that's actually really helpful. I mean, I find every now and then it's, you know, it's helpful for me to hear about that kind of stuff, you know, someone just coming in or struggling or whatever. And I'm just like, yeah, you know, that's rough. And then, you know, for them to know that, I mean, I don't even really need to necessarily say much. I mean, you can just see it, you know, and then they see us with, you know, how we're doing.
Right.
That, you know, it kind of just works well for all of us, I guess. It's just the way the world works.
Yeah. I have found that not only, you know, relating to people who are new and you know, that reminding of where I came from, mm-hmm, and how bad it really was, because I've got a built-in forgetter. Mm-hmm. I'll forget how bad it really was, given enough time. But also those folks that, you know, have got 10, 15, 20, 30, 35 years of sobriety. And you listen to them and you realize that, you know, their life is still getting better day by day. And, you know, that reminds me that, you know, I gotta keep working at this thing constantly. Mm-hmm. Because if I do, things will keep getting better.
Yeah, that's like
things are pretty good now, and I'm a little lazy and I might get complacent and decide, oh, you know, it's good enough. But if I stop working, I also know from experience and watching people that if I quit working at it, I'm not just going to stay pretty okay. I'm going to start sliding back down that slippery slope, mm-hmm, till I get to a point where I forgot, mm-hmm, again.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll be back out there running and gunning. And you know, I have the potential for another drunk in me. I just don't know if I have the potential for another case of sobriety.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that still scares me a little bit. And I'm glad that scares
me a
little
bit. Yeah, that
is
good. I was going to say, I don't know, I think humanity as like a whole, that like every person, it's like we can always continue to learn each day of our lives. And I think that's kind of like a built-in thing. And mm-hmm, I think when people kind of don't, like people get complacent and then they do whatever their maybe negative habits are or whatever. You know what
right,
I mean? Like when
right,
you stop looking at yourself and you stop and you just start looking at what everyone else is doing and you're like, oh, look at those people. Gosh, you know, I would never do that. You know, that kind of
right,
stuff.
Yeah.
That cynicism, that criticism, that, all that kind of stuff. Oh, and you know, like I get a little lazy. I'm not exactly the most overly driven person, and I know that about myself. So like that constant like looking, okay, so what are these things about myself that, you know, I need to look at, or what other people see that I, you know, need to work on? Those things are kind of exciting now. You know, like those used to be things that I would just so push away or so be hurt about, you know,
right?
Because I was using, it's like there was such an inability to be able to identify. I
could never do that.
Yeah, no?
I could never do that. I could never do that.
Jeez, I would be like, what a bunch of jerks, you know? Do you guys really realize how bad I have it? I mean, look around, you know, all these people. It's everyone else's fault.
Yeah.
And, this isn't my fault at all. Let me give you 30 reasons why this is not my fault, you know?
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And, it gets to that point, you know, for me. I'll build a resentment, you know,
right.
Because I can't do that. Why, you know, why should they be able to, you know, it's the thing, you see somebody with a fancy car and nice clothes and a lot of money. And, it's a real temptation for me to look at them and go, well, why the hell do they deserve that? Why don't I? Well, because you didn't work as hard.
I know.
As
I always
they
think,
did I? You weren't born right. into a wealthy family.
Yeah,
you know, you got what you got.
Exactly.
And you
did
know,
you go to 12 years of school? Probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So, it's just so easy for me to you know, get hung up and stuff like that, and thank God I don't really have to anymore. You know, I really do have. Because of recovery and because of what I've learned in AA, you know, I don't have to go there anymore. Mm-hmm. I still might.
Well, and I was going to say that also that, you know, so, you know, people who I'll wrap it up so we can take a break in a second.
Yeah.
But
no, no.
I would say that it's probably an, I don't know if you call it a character thing or an issue. I mean, I know that for myself, you know, the self-gratifying thing of I want it now. That's been a problem in my life.
Yeah.
Let me just throw that out there. And I'm just going to own it on myself, okay? So that is something that I've totally had to work on, you know, like what I want. I want to feel better. I want this. I want that. And I've heard it in several different kinds of things, even when I'm reading or listening to other books that have nothing to do with recovery. And it talks about that. And they're like, and those people usually have problems with drugs and alcohol. And I'm like, oh, you know what I mean? And I'm like, okay, wait, let's pay really close attention to this part of this book, because this probably totally applies to me. And it's really cool because, it does, it really does. And so, it helps me deal with right now and looking forward and, you know, but anyways, I don't know where I was going at that point, but
well,
it's one of my issues for sure.
It's one of the old, it's one of the old stories, you know, God, the prayer, God, please give me patience and do it now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I've had to learn to just be a lot more patient. So we are going to go to
a musical break. A little music break. Mm-hmm. And then when we come back, we'll do some phone numbers.
Yep.
And I still have some AA events and NA events. Fun summer stuff that's coming up.
Absolutely.
And we'll be back with that in just a minute.
Yeah.
And we are back on Recovery Radio. I'm Johnny, she's Denise, and you're listening to Recovery Radio on KRFP in beautiful Moscow, Idaho. Hi, Denise.
Hi, Johnny, and hello, listening audience.
Listening audience.
Listening audience, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's the right term.
Yeah, we were just talking during the musical break that I still have have no concept of how many people actually listen to us, and I'm thinking there could be tens maybe. Oh, even
Johnny has such little faith. I mean, we have listeners that listen every single week.
And you were reminding me that you have fans.
I do.
That's awesome.
Do. They like my beautiful voice. Well, apparently, I don't know.
Maybe.
I'm sorry. See, there I was just, doing that attic thing where I was, talking probably too kindly about myself. But, this is a good show, and, people have fun listening.
Well, that's good. And I'm sure they
and
do.
And you too.
And I, although I don't claim any fans, I do have friends that pop in and listen. Hey, Tom. Hey, Brian. How you doing?
Go.
I give a shout. That counts as a DJ shout out.
It does. Good job.
Or a talk show host. But hey, let's get to some of the events coming up.
Pen and paper.
We talk occasionally on here about how there are lots of things to do in sobriety that are fun and exciting, and
yes.
So you don't have to try and do this thing alone. Here's a few things that are coming up on the AA side of the world. The Colfax group is having a camp out. It's June 8th, starts June 8th, at 7 p.m. It's going to be at the Whitman County Fairgrounds, and cost is $10 for a tent or $20 for an RV. And the contact is Mike R. And his number is 509-397-9143. Again, Mike R., 509-397-9143. And then the new Freedom Group in Pullman is having their summer potluck dinner. And that's going to be on June 9th, which is a Saturday. And it'll be at 5:30 p.m. I believe they start their hanging out and fellowship at 5:30, and then it's followed by the potluck dinner, and then they have a speaker, and it goes on from there. And that's held at the Pullman Presbyterian Church, which is right on, it's at 1630 Northeast Stadium Way. Is just half a block down from Beasley Coliseum. And it costs nothing to attend. Of course, they always encourage you to bring something for the potluck. There's always a ton of food, and oh my God, it's good. They had the misfortune of having me as a speaker once, and I really enjoyed
whatever.
It. But I have not been
treated
asked back.
Good.
Yeah, I know. This is my... my alcoholic inferior, was it?
See, I went one way with my ego, and you went the other way.
Well, no, I went the same way, actually. See, an alcoholic is an egomaniac with an inferiority complex, so it makes it fun. But a contact number for New Freedom is 509-251-9939. 509-251-9939. And then the last one for AA is the Big Eddie Campouts, fun on the St. Joe River. And July 20th at 12 p.m. it starts. And it's at Big Eddie Resort, which is out of St. Mary's. And the cost is free. And the contact is, Mike R. again. And his number is 509-397-9143.
Yeah, that's a great area to go camping.
It's beautiful. A friend of mine's family is quite thick up in that area, and I was up there with him picking up some equipment out at one of his aunt's properties aunt's properties. And we drove by the Big Ody Resort, and it's a beautiful place. It's cool. Big and green, and the river's right there, and really fun. Over the NA side, I found a flyer on the North Idaho NA group website, and it's hosted by One Disease, One Program Meeting. It says, come enjoy camping, glow ball, dodgeball, swimming, and fishing in the Trout Lake. Begins at 5 p.m. on Friday, June 29th through 1 p.m. Sunday, July 1st. And it's at Camp Stidwell in Sagal, Idaho. $5 per person, children under 12 free. They say this is a modest cost and helps us pay for the rent at the campground. Bring your own camp gear, wood, toilet paper, food, tents, and rowboats, canoes, rafts, no gas motors. And you can get this flyer on the North Idaho, I think it's NAIA something or other. I don't have it written down here. I apologize for that. Website.
Yeah, it's probably on the NA site, too.
Yeah. Google NA in North Idaho, mm-hmm. and that'll take you right to
there's
their
that,
website.
There's that NA NAP that my, NA app that my friend gave me a few months ago that's pretty cool, too. So.
Oh, yeah?
So I also wanted to mention that the safety fair is this weekend at the Eastside Marketplace. I don't know. Have you been to that, Johnny? I've been to that every year since, like, forever.
I tend to go to see the helicopter. It's,
right. Okay, so.
It's the high point of my
right?
day.
Right? Okay, so I believe it's 11 to 1. What's your...
Yeah, that sounds about right. Might even run a little longer than that.
Yeah, so I want to say it's about 11 to 1, maybe a little longer. It may start a little earlier, may end a little later, but you get the idea. So for those of you who haven't been there, that's the Eastside Marketplace out where Safeway is, also by Real Life Church, and it's just pretty much that parking lot right there. It takes up about half of it, more like on the Dollar Tree side and everything, but pretty cool. They bring out a helicopter. They bring out... a police officer, a couple of them, police officer cars.
Yeah,
kids crawl in there. They get to giggle on the PA, and yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if Officer Vincello is out there.
Oh, they're all out there. Oh, right.
She mentioned me. She's mm-hmm. taking over the child safety seat.
Excellent.
Program mm-hmm. for the department because the officer who used to do that is going to retire soon. So look for our friend.
Yeah.
And I know fire departments there, mm-hmm. lots of fire trucks.
Yeah, and so with the safety seat things, I'm so glad you mentioned that. So basically they check your car inside, just make sure that that your car seat is safe, or like if there's anything wrong with it. I believe they have new ones that they give out. It's a great way to get a brand new safe car seat for your child. They also help you figure out, is the car seat that your child's in, is it adjusted correctly for their height and their weight and all that kind of stuff? They help you discern whether or not your child needs to be in a booster or the 5-point harness or just the whole bit. And they're very thorough about it. So, we have gone there, at least the last 4 years with our girls. Now we're pretty much out of it because it's just Erilyn in her booster seat. But it's really great for everybody. I mean, you can take your babies there and stuff.
Yeah, so. Well, and you think about it, it was a surprise to me that, it's turning into a carnival thing with a little sign. If your kid's shorter than this, mm-hmm. she needs... and Denise, you
I know.
May
okay,
still
so
need
this
to
is
be
the
in
deal.
A booster seat.
So this is the deal. So in my Durango, I sit on a cushion that's about a couple inches so that I can see over my...
dashboard.
Drivers, no, not no. the dashboard. Shoot, isn't that bad? Over the okay, so the Durango SLT that I have, it has this. They have great big huge side mirrors. They're enormous,
right?
And it's great because you can see really well. But you get a certain four-way stop,
but is what
and you can't
you
see the whole
important?
Car over there. No, like it'll black out a whole car. Oh, I've almost gotten to accidents, so I have to sit up above over that so I can see when I look that way. So, anyways. But the point being that, even as an adult, maybe you need to sit on something so that you can see really well. I don't know. whatever, tall people.
Yeah.
But so
you
that's
darn people over 5'6" right? really just annoy me.
And there's food out there at the safety fair too. I think they usually have hot dogs and ice cream, popsicles, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And and the CPR stuff, your kids can practice CPR on
Recessa Annie.
Yep, exactly, that kind of stuff. The helicopter, they can get in the helicopter, the fire truck, blah, 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 all the kind of stuff. Kids right. love it. They have a grand old time. And if ever we're late to it or anything happens, I mean, my kids are just freaking out, you know? I mean, so
right.
it's a make or break day for how much they love me as a parent. So you should probably all go out there. It's this Saturday. I'm just saying.
Sounds like fun.
It sounds like fun. It is fun. I have fun too. And now, just to be really super honest, you know, I get out there and there's a bunch of police officers, and this will be like the fifth year that they get to see me once again in the community, all clean in recovery. It's
right.
a good feeling. It may not sound like such a big thing, but to me it is, because you know those people were trying to help me before, and they, you know, get to see one more person in the community that they've been able to, you know, be a part of success.
Right, right.
That's important.
And you know, like
and my children,
like Officer Vincella was
yeah.
telling us the other day when she was here that the way I used to think about police was, you know, pretty much they're there to ruin my day. It never occurred to me that what they're really there for, what they believe they are there for, is to help out.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, to get you off that, get you off that
destructive path.
That treadmill, that's the hamster wheel.
Well, and keep other people in the community safe as well. I mean,
well,
geez.
Yeah.
And you. And they do care about you and your children and your family and all that kind of stuff. Absolutely.
Well, that's right.
And what a difficult job that must be, you know, to watch all that. I mean,
yeah.
Along with the other bazillion things that they have to deal with in a day.
Exactly.
Geez, that's just one little stack of stuff.
Idiots who turn their left-hand turn signal on
oh, yeah.
2 seconds after the light turns green, oh. you son of a gun. So, and I know they do that just to irritate me. Couldn't have anything to do with, oh, I forgot to get the bread at Safeway. So
right, I know. I find that's when I make my biggest mistakes when I'm driving is, I'm either way too happy about something, like something uh-huh. just happened. Many stories about silly stuff happening when I'm way too happy. Or just that, you've got this list in your head and you're going through it. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
And it's like, okay, Denise, clear your mind and just drive. Like you're, I think the Durango's like a couple thousand pounds. Your couple thousand pound Durango could smush somebody. Let's not do that today. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
They talk about, cell phones and texting, distracted driving. Man, sometimes my head can just get so
this
full
bad,
of
huh?
the next thing I have to do, and oh god, yeah,
mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, was that a stop sign? It just blew
right?
through, and
yeah.
is that why people are honking at me? Oh look, that guy's waving with one finger. I'm gonna owe an amends on that one.
I know that only happens occasionally, maybe once a year or something like that with me, because you've lived here for a really long time, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
and so I pretty much know every pedestrian crosswalk, every two-way versus every four-way and everything like that. Every blind spot that there is where you can't see somebody.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's just like I've lived here for so long.
Yeah, A Street and Line Street, where they got that curvy road that spills downhill with no stop sign to mm-hmm. that A Street cross traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I always hear a lot of horns and
see
a lot of glass in that intersection
when
I drive by there.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. That one is kind of rough. And there actually is a lot of traffic and stuff there because there's no lights to go across that way.
Right.
I actually, when I first met my soon-to-be ex-husband, he lived right there on Home Street, between Home and that, you know,
right
there.
Right, sure.
And I had a Firebird. And let me tell you, okay, in the snow, like, I could barely even maybe stop when the weather became bad going down that hill towards, you know.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. Anyways, just bring back memories. Don't mind me. But
don't remind me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I said, don't mind me. But yeah, I know all about that spot because it's a two-way, not a four-way.
Right. Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And there's big signs.
And there is a big blind spot as you come down.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the big signs there, cross traffic does not stop. And,
yeah.
And there's just people on A Street going, neither do I. And I just,
right, because if it, yeah, especially if it's icy, because that's a that's like a curvy, like just huge slope down.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I live up on top of that hill and coming down, I usually don't try and come down Cherry Street because that's it gets icy down near the bottom there, and you're just into all kinds of trouble.
My care group moved over there. The people that host my care group, they moved over there, and it drives me nuts because so you can't pull on the park on the upside.
On one side, yeah.
I gotta always turn around in there, but it's cool. Whatever.
You're the one.
Okay. I'm the no. Just kidding. I don't park the wrong way.
I'm really sorry that I called the police and had them ticket you 14 times.
No. No.
Well, hey, why don't we get into some phone numbers? We're getting close to the end here.
So we are an outreach program of the Latah Recovery Center, which is located on 531 South Main Street, Suite B. Yeah. Anyways, where the old Weepers used to be.
And, right
and
next
to Wackadoos.
Wackadoos and One World Cafe.
Yep. And their number is 208-883-1045. And then we've got Weeks in Vitry, which is a outpatient center that you can get help for drugs or alcohol. And Weeks in Vitry is located at 118 South Washington Street. And their phone number is 208-882-8514. Sequel Family Alliance Services, 220 Rodeo Drive, number 410. And their phone number is 208-882-5960. There's also Celebrate Recovery at Real Life Moscow Campus, 420 South Blaine Street, but more simply in the Safeway East Side Marketplace, you know, building. And their phone number is 208-882-2484. And I believe Celebrate Recovery is Friday nights starting at 7 p.m. And we have time for a couple more?
Sure.
I probably have a couple
keep
more.
Keep rolling. All right. Keep rolling.
Okay. Al-Anon meets Monday at 7 p.m. at the Good Samaritan here in Moscow. Wednesday at 7 p.m. in Pullman at the Presbyterian Church, second floor library. And Friday at 8 p.m. Grimmon Medical Center, first floor conference room here in Moscow. And I'm sure I have more if I need to, Johnny.
Keep going.
All right, I'm looking.
Trying to find the underwriting to put up for the...
That's okay.
For
okay.
our good friend
so,
who's coming behind us.
What else do we have here? So there are classes called Her Journey, Victim Recovery Classes, that have to do with domestic abuse. And number...
We haven't mentioned that lately.
We
should remember that.
We should. The local number is 509-484-0600, and the national number is 503-846-9284. Also, another one that I have on here is, it's called BPA. It's the State of Idaho funding for getting help with treatment. And you can give them a call at 208-336-4275. And they will ask you some varying questions on the phone to see if you can get funded. Some people get completely funded to get treatment in the state of Idaho through BPA. And again, that number is 208-336-4275.
And I'm going to throw one in here, too. I mentioned some of these summer camps for alternatives to violence of the police. And their 24-hour crisis hotline is 1-877-334-2887. That's 1-877-334-2887. And you can also call 509-332-HELP, which is HELP is... 4357, or you can call 208-883-HELP. So 332-HELP in Pullman and 883-HELP in Idaho. And I think that about wraps it up for us today. I want to
thank you for listening.
Thank our listener. And
oh, stop. Thank you to all of our listeners.
All our listeners.
For listening to Recovery Radio.
I'm sorry, did I say that wrong?
Oh, you did.
And away we go.
That's what it's all about.
I told you about living in the U.S. of A. Don't you know that I'm a gangster of love? Let me tell you people that I found a new way. And I'm tired of all this talk about love. And the same old story with a new set of words about the good and the bad and the poor. And the times keep on changing, so I'm keeping on top of every bad cat who walks through my door. I'm a space cowboy.